Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Love and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, on this journey, I get to serve as your tour guide, and it is indeed my pleasure to do so for you in this most wondrous event we call life. And so for tonight, I will be the special guest speaker and narrator and moderator of this discussion, and so welcome, welcome, welcome. And, you know, just as we do with any other situation or big event, big major event, we always make sure that our dwelling place is prepared, our house is clean. You know, Mom and them taught us that you can't have people come over, your friends come over, and your house is a mess. So let's do how we do each week, and we get started by anchoring ourselves in affirmative reading. And yeah, I'm having just a bit of a situation here with the computer, so let's just see what's happening. I wanted to read from you my daily inspirational for today, which is called The How. And so I want to make sure that I usually have everything pulled up, but I'm having some issues with electronics today. I have a little issue with some nasal conditions going on, but nothing stops the show. We're going to keep it moving right along. And so neither one of them wants to come up. So here we go. I was just going to tell you that, you know, we're going to keep rolling regardless of how it goes. So today's message is called The How. And, you know, sometimes we need to make sure that we allow ourselves to not be so consumed with electronics where we come so dependent upon them, we forget how to maneuver without them. So as this is surely taking its time to come up, I'm just going to slowly wait for it. And if it doesn't come up, we'll just move right along to the second. Here we go. So this is from my website, My Daily Inspirational Messages, and it's called The How. Do not get lost in the how, for it will surely immobilize and distract you. Attempting to figure out the how may keep you away from achieving your goal or even staying on purpose. So I recently sat in meditation and asked the question, how am I supposed to get this accomplished? It was as if all the ascended masters and my ancestors came rushing in to answer this question. They said, it is not for me to figure it all out, to do the part given to me to do, and that is all. You know, we want to know all the answers before we proceed with a new or continue on with an existing idea. Okay, I'm told, led to do this or that, but the infamous but stops all the forward action and progress. Sometimes I think but is the smallest, biggest word in the English language. But stops everything. Yes, I am blessed and highly favored, but my rent is due, and I do not know how I'm going to pay it this month. Yes, I know he loves me, but why can't he just do this little thing I have asked him to do or not do? Thank you for the compliment, but this old thing I have owned for years. But the word but cancels out the blessing. So concentrate on the what. Clearly know the what of your passion. What is it that you truly have passion to do? Can you define it so that a small child can clearly see your vision? What is your passion? What? I release the need or my need to know the how. I utilize my energy in discovering the what of my purpose here on earth. I know I came to contribute to the betterment of others. I came to be of service to my fellow human beings. I can concisely articulate the what of my passion. The universe, God, Holy Spirit got my back on the how. Once I am crystal clear about my work, the how goes into action to make it happen. So that is the message from today. And again, that's on WordPress. It's Rev Sandy, R-E-V-S-A-N-D-Y, .wordpress.com. And that'll take you into my site, and you can sign up and have those delivered to your email addresses every day, and then it's also posted on Facebook. And you know, we start in the affirmative words, the affirmative prayer, and the next thing that we do without failure is to pay honor and tribute to our ancestors. We always invoke and invite their energies and their love and their support to be with us as we do this show. I invoke their energy on a daily basis and ask for guidance and for their support, you know, in carrying us through. And so to my ancestors and to your ancestors, I say, Ashe, Ashe, we love you, we appreciate you, and we're so grateful that you are our ancestor. So it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Mother and Daughter Relationship Dynamics. Many women that I know suffer with traumatic experiences with their mother, and they are caught in a no-win situation because they have few, if anyone, to talk to about the dynamics of the pain they feel. What or was or is the relationship with your mother, birth or adopted, strained? What effects did that have on your self-esteem and or self-worth? Some call it dysfunction. Are you the daughter or mother that is still working out the relationship? However, there are many, many, many mother-daughter relationships that are healthy and inspiring, encouraging, and impactful. So what are the characteristics that define these unions? Can you relate to those female friends who did not have the same experiences growing up? So we want to talk about that tonight because as we really know, the women are the ones that bring life into existence. And so we need to heal our wounds and what we feel has been cracked in our foundation and get on with the life so that we can help bring about the power that is needed within this universe. And so audience, I'm not going to just call women, but audience, I'm inviting you to be a part of this discussion. And whatever comments you want to make, you're more than welcome to. I am not the authority on this. I know I have been approached by women on both sides of the fence, and I want to make sure that we have a true discussion around this. And so I have a couple of pieces that I want to share with you in regards to this. But again, tonight we're talking about mother and daughter relationship dynamics. And so we're going to very soon be digging in to that discussion.
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
So I thought this was very appropriate going into the female energy tonight. And so this article is called Chemicals in Cosmetics, and it was actually posted last year in December of 2015. And it says, you might be surprised that potentially harmful chemicals exist in your body lotion, your deodorant, shampoo, and cosmetics, but it's really par for the course. Cosmetics can come on the market without any type of approval necessary. Only after a product is deemed to be harmful, adulterated, or misbranded can the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, take regulatory action, although it rarely does. So there's a bill dubbed the Personal Care Product Safety Act, which will require the FDA to review 5 chemicals in personal care products each year in order to evaluate their safety. In Europe, more than 1,300 chemicals are banned from personal care products compared to just 11 in the United States. That's outrageous. 1,300 in Europe, but 11 in the United States. Currently, cosmetics can come on the market, again, without any type of approval necessary. And there are chemicals in mouthwash that have been linked to high blood pressure and cancer. There are a lot of research that's been done and articles on the internet where you can find products that are natural that you can personally make yourself, so you know what the ingredients are. So that would be something that I would highly encourage you to do, because not only that, so then here comes another one, and this one is just this month. So Johnson & Johnson, ladies, if you have not heard, Johnson & Johnson hid talcum powder linked to ovarian cancer for 40 years. Baby talcum powder increases women's risk of ovarian cancer. More than 20 studies have linked the use of talcum powder around the genital area to ovarian cancer in women. Cornstarch is a safe substitute that can do the same job of absorbing moisture. In February of 2016, a jury found Johnson & Johnson's talcum powder contributed to a 62-year-old woman's ovarian cancer, awarding her $72 million in damages. And just a few months later, in May of 2016, another woman was awarded $55 million in damages after embedded in her ovaries was found to have contributed to her cancer. Watch what we're using, ladies. Watch what we're using. So Johnson & Johnson faces legal challenges over carcinogenic talcum powder. And, again, they're paying $72 million to one lady. And what was the figure on the other? It was $55 million. So you know that they had to really be doing some deep investigation and to prove Johnson & Johnson was guilty. But they've hid the dangers of talcum for 40 years. And they say some of the talcum may still be contaminated with asbestos. And it's just outrageous to me. So let me just share this with you right quick. And so it says, how many chemicals does your beauty routine expose you to? The average American woman uses 12 personal care products and or cosmetics per day, containing 168 different chemicals, according to the Environmental Working Group, or the EWG. While most men use fewer products, they're still exposed to about 85 such chemicals daily, while teens who use an average of 17 personal care products a day are exposed to even more. When the EWG tested teens to find out which chemicals in personal care products were found in their bodies, 16 different hormone-altering chemicals, including parabens, were detected. And there are other chemicals risk as well. So there was a report called Heavy Metal Hazard, the Health Risk of Hidden Heavy Metals in Face Makeup. and the testing revealed serious heavy metal contamination in virtually all of the products. And these were, some of them were, 96% contained lead. So, ladies, we're putting lead on our bodies and on it's in our makeup and our personal care products. 51% contain cadmium and 20% contain arsenic. So we must be more vigilant about what we're exposing ourselves to. I believe that we can put about a lot of change in the illnesses that we experience by just being more aware of what we're routinely putting on our body every day. So check the labels, do your research, and make sure that you're not adding fuel to the fire by subjecting yourself to the carcinogens that causes cancer, like with the talcum powder. I think that is just absolutely incredible. And that Johnson & Johnson was able to get away with that for over 40 years to hide that, and that women have now having to suffer ovarian cancer as negligence for them, for Johnson & Johnson's not letting us know what the ingredients were. So we're going to come back to some more news on some other things, but, you know, it's all about sharing with each other and knowing that the more we know, the more we share, the more everybody knows. And so we're going to make sure that we're always doing that, and I hope that information you share with your loved ones as well. So we're going to take a quick break.
I'm gonna work it on a natural road.
one of my favorite oldies, Boogie Down by Eddie Kendrick. Just had to put a little life into the party. So, you know, this is Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show, and I thank you for being a part of the program tonight. And I would like to also let the audience know that you are welcome to join us on the air with any comments that you may have. And you simply push 1 on your dial to let me know that you want to speak online. And for those of you that that are not on the call or have not called in, the number to the show is 516-531-9819. And, again, you will simply push the 1 to let me know you want to speak on air. So tonight we're talking about mother-daughter relationship dynamics. So I have the pleasure of meeting this extremely beautiful woman about a month or so ago, and she and I had a good time of getting to know each other. You know, a lot of times when you go out to parties and things, you just kind of speak to several people. Hey, how you doing? My name is, you know, and what do you do? And the relationship or the conversation is usually a little bit bland, you know, and you're not really sharing who you really are. But me and this lady really took the time to get to know one another and shared just a lot of information, personal information about ourselves with one another. And before we departed company that night, she invited me to her first play that it was debuting here in Atlanta at the Academy Theater. And so I promised her that I would support her. And so last Sunday, I had the opportunity of going to see The Rooting Place, and it was written by my newest and close friend, Betty Cheney. And so Betty has done an exceptional job with this play, and I believe it's still playing at the Academy Theater in Hapeville. Betty is a part of the Impact Theater Atlanta group, and so this is her first production. In this play, it's about 4 generations of women, and mother-daughter, or grandmother, great-grandmother, 4 generations of women in the same family. I'm going to go back to that. And there was so much disharmony and so much bitterness and hatred between the two closest, you know, like the mother and the daughter, whereas when there was separation with a generation, like from grandmother to granddaughter, then you didn't have that same type of negative energy flowing into that. So without telling you the crux of the play, because I really would like for you guys to go and support my friend Betty Cheney. Again, she's here in Atlanta at the Academy Theater. That it was just really surprising to see it up on stage, and she did such an excellent job with the play, and people in the audience were crying, we were laughing, but we felt what was going on, because she really dug into these characters and was able to finally break it down where the truth was not spoken from one generation to the next. And so that was at the crux of all the negativity between the mother and the daughter. And so and going back and reviewing that, I thought that was so incredible that she was able to depict that on stage. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautifully done. And so it just made me think about this show even that much more, about how important it is that we bring these subjects up, that we talk about them very honestly and very truthfully with one another, and that we start working on a system to break down some of that distrust and dysfunction, so that we can operate on a higher level of love with one another and reinforcing each other, that we strive for better relationships, better feelings about ourselves, self-worth, and self-love. And so I want to thank Betty Cheney for going out on a limb and being so bold and so courageous to bring this this reality to a visual for us in her play, The Rooting Place. And if you get a chance, if you're in Atlanta, check it out. It's at the Academy Theater in Hayesville, out near the airport. And so after that, yesterday, actually, I had another dear friend of mine post off Facebook, and I'm not going to read her name, and if she's on the call and on the show and she wants to be identified, she can do so. But I just wanted to read her letter because it was more confirmation that this conversation needs to be held. So she says, I'm 42. At 40, I gave birth to this amazing, forever turned up angel of a girl and decided to devote my time to her and everything I love, which meant delving back into my passion of work in the beauty industry full time and using my careers and master's degree in a different way, my own way. I have children. I am divorced twice. My parents have always been toxic crap and will never touch the life I've built for myself by myself. Beyond a Facebook like, my blood family is not my support. I'm not lucky. I'm determined, I think. There is no other way. I get low. I struggle, sometimes quiet, and something in me fights to remain alive and with love and doing just what I love. I'm thankful for this life, my passions, those who genuinely have my back, and this girl, Juju, who reminds me to be wild, shake off the bullshit, keep reinventing myself, and just dance. And so that daughter of mine has chosen to break the cycle. She no longer wants that to be a routine or a family illness with her and between her and her daughter and her children. I've seen her with her sons, and she's doing an extremely, extremely loving job with bringing up some very capable, very caring young African American men. And so I'm proud of her. I'm proud of the work that she's doing. And I would have never known the other part of that. But again, there's a dynamic between mother and daughter. Sometimes it could be very beautiful, very fulfilling, very encouraging to each other, supportive of each other, but sometimes not. So what happens when it's not? You know, it does affect your self-esteem and your self-worth, your self-love, because you figure there must be something wrong with you if my own mother can't support me and don't love me. So how do we change that? How do we our lives so that we can move beyond, like my friend says, and shake it off and just dance and just allow life to be with you and you be with it? So again, audience, if you would like to chime in on the conversation, the number here is 516-531-9819, and you just press 1 on your keypad to let me know that you want to speak on air. And so this whole thing about mother-daughter relationships and the dynamics of those relationships and how it impacts us going forward, and you know, it's not just in one culture, because I've seen this. I've always had friends of all nationalities. People used to call my friends the United Nations, because I didn't believe in restricting my associations with people or my friendships to just a certain, and so I've always had different cultures involved and very close to me, and I noticed that it's the same dynamics in each one of the cultures that mother-daughter or that feminine energy within the family can be really strained, can be very stressful for the people that are involved, or at least I'm going to say for the daughter. I'm not sure so much how the mother handles that. Maybe it's generational. You know, maybe the mother was raised the same way that she then chose to raise her daughter, and not knowing how to love, not knowing how to support the child that she brought into the world. I'm not really sure if that is the key or if that is the reason, but that would be my assumption, and that in order to survive without having to overdo or to rethink this thing, then they're just going to raise their child or their daughter the same way that they were raised, and they believe that, you know, well, if it was good enough for me, it would be good enough for my children. And again, I'm thankful for the individuals that are brave enough, bold enough, courageous enough to say, I want more love in my family. I want more love between me and my daughter. And I don't want the competition. I don't want the competing and the negative vibes, the jealousy, whatever that thing is. And sometimes it can be really hard to put an identification to it, you know. So what is it that would cause a mother to not be loving to her daughter? Really, what is that, right? But then again, like I said, I know a lot of women that have these strong, strong bonds and relationships with their mom. And talking to them sometimes they don't relate because they're like, well, how can your mother not support you, you know? And why would your mother not encourage you to do such and such? And why would your mother use such bad, foul language with you? And they become, so those relationships become toxic, and you're really trying to find a reason as to why it's all taking place. So I wrote a book many years ago called The Rose Garden, Remembering Our Beauty in Tough Times. And in that book, I talk about the illness or the disease that affects a lot of women, and that's low self-esteem. And so in that low self-esteem, I'm sure that whole relationship between the daughter and the mother is one of those key filters that triggers that in women or in girls or in the female in the first place. Because, again, if your own mother does not show loving support of you, then how can you honestly feel that someone else, anyone else, really adores you or love you or are willing to support you? And so the dynamics are so real. They are so real with talking this over and discussing this mother-daughter relationship. So, again, audience, I'm not the expert on the subject. I just have been included in numerous conversations throughout my life with women and what they go through with these relationships where their moms are not supportive, their moms are constantly belittling them, and the women are spending their whole life trying to make their mother love them or trying to make their mother to just acknowledge them. It doesn't even have to be anything more than, you know, just acknowledgement from it. And the women that have the mothers that are loving and doting on them and showing them the love and support that they require to be healthy, you know, how does that feel? Is it something that you can help the women that did not have these type of experiences? Can you help them to be able to understand and to move beyond that and create, like the one young lady that wrote about her, the relationship between her and her daughter, that we can help build in loving relationships within our families. Because remember, our family structures, that's the basis for the whole world. It's the family then creates the community, which then creates the nation, which then creates the world. And so if the families are broken, if the families are not strong and loving and supportive of one another, then how can you expect the community or anything else to be as strong as it can be? So, again, we're talking about mother-daughter relationship dynamics. What could possibly cause a woman that has given birth to a daughter, what could possibly cause her to not totally love and support that child? What would cause her to be jealous of that child? What would cause her to feel like she's in competition with that child? And then how does it affect the child? The child came into this world just as innocent as all out. So now how does the child deal with that? And then how does that affect the child as she's growing up? So these are some questions I really would like to get some input from the audience as to what are your beliefs. What do you think could possibly cause that? Or if that's not how your relationship was with your mother, then how was your relationship? And did you have any friends that possibly had the traumatic experiences with their mothers where they felt they were constantly bartering for their mother's attention? So these are just some things that I want us to think about. So in the book, The Rose Garden, I write, How Does Your Garden Grow? The sisters I have been blessed to experience and share a portion of my life with are all uniquely strong and beautiful. This feminine energy is resourceful, talented, colorful, beautiful, precious, and endangered. We are the queens, princesses, mothers, daughters, aunts, grandmothers, and sisters of civilization. We have given birth to, have labored to bring life forth, nursed and nourished the existence of all of humanity. Mothers of the universe is what I call every female, for even my four-year-old granddaughter is teaching people how to love. This powerful energy is evidenced throughout nature. So the Rose Garden is written to remind us of our gentle strength, the strength that protects life, provides guidance with compassion, and produces a loving environment. The Rose Garden reminds us of our true, unmistakable beauty, soft and feminine, God's perfect balance. Sisters, we must not abdicate our power, our influence, or our contributions to fear. Fear that we are incomplete, unloving, or unworthy. We must remember, stay ever connected to our true essence, our strength. There was no mistake when God gave the awesome blessing of childbirth to woman. Women alone carry life, are built to expand for the growth of an unborn baby, and are fully equipped to provide food and nourishment for the newborn. While each person possesses both the feminine and masculine energy or chromosomes, sadly, there are some women who use their masculine energy to their own detriment. They forsake their gentleness and nurturing spirit. We are to reclaim our heritage to provide balance, our heritage of mother, nurturer, gentleness, and unconditional love. The male is created to protect us, not disrespect us. We must stand firm in demanding respect for ourselves and all females. If necessary, we should remind each other to be respectful and respectable at all times of all females. And so that gets into this mother-daughter relationship dynamic. And so sometimes it's necessary to remind each other of what our roles are as far as being a nurturer and nurturing all of humanity. We bring life into the world. We should not be destroying it. Sisters, we are whole and complete just as God created us to be. Loving ourselves unconditionally is the first step. When we have mastered this, then and only then can we add others to the mix. A man cannot complete you or make you happy or make you feel satisfied. That is all on the inside of you and your heart of hearts. We should pamper ourselves with love treatments. Wrap your arms around yourself and give special recognition of yourself. Love yourself. The body houses your being, the very temple of our God expression. Meditate and reflect on your goodness. That's one of the ways, one of the suggestions that can help you get beyond whatever hurts and pains you may have experienced as a younger person and not having the love and the nurturing from your mom, if that's your reality. And if you're wanting to help another sister that perhaps had that experience, then helping to give some type of resources and examples of how to love on yourself. Because when we love on ourselves, we start filling those holes that are in our souls from not being nurtured as young females. We give all of that time to mend and to heal when we can put unconditional love in those places, when we can love and appreciate and respect who we are. So that's one of those life skills that we need to master and to be able to apply it at all times so that we will not stay stuck in what happened in the past and move forward with love and strength and courage and be able to help the sisters on both sides, in the front and in the back of you, to be able to call that into focus, be able to talk about it honestly and openly, and be like the woman with the child and let it go. Let the children be your guide. Let the children teach you how to just love freely. Just let it all go, because that's what we need to do. When we allow this negativity and these bad energies just to consume us at all times, then we subject ourselves to illness and to depression, to making bad choices in life. And we wonder why we did it. You know, why and how did we get into those situations? It's because we don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel that we're worthy of love and of a good partner. So let's help each other. Plain and simple. Let's just help each other to master that self-love, which will increase our self-esteem and our self-worth to a place where we never go back. We never go back and allow ourselves to feel down and out or beat up on ourselves or to think that we're anything less than who we truly are. So I'm going to take a break, give me a little glass of water, and we'll be right back.
I want you to fall in love. I want you to love.
That was Zapp and Rogers back in 1993 with Computer Love. How it amazes me how some of these musicians, and I talk about Marvin Gaye and so many others, that were light years of what was going on in reality. So Zapp and Roger back in 1993 talk about Computer Love, and now what do we have? eHarmony and Singles Match and all of that. So I just find that really interesting that they came up with this song in 93, so that's 23 years ago, and I just love it. So I have I have a text message here, and so the person wants to know about the dynamics of the entire toxic family environment. And so and the details of this relationship or this family structure mirrors actually the rooting place, in that there was incest involved, and the daughter felt that the mama knew and that the mother just didn't protect her. And so the person wanted to know, then, you know, how do you handle that, and how do you move beyond that portrayal of your the person that is supposed to be taking care of you. And so says that we can never go back and change a situation. It is what it is, and it happened the way that it did. But you can change your memory of it in a way where you are acknowledging the situation as it happened. You are grieving. You are hurting. You're feeling the pains that's associated with what happened. And then once you celebrate the emotions that you have, and I say celebrate because we're gifted with a wide range of emotions. So we don't just have happy and glad emotions, but we have sadness, we have anger, we have grief, we have a full spectrum of emotions. So once you have experienced that which you attach to that memory, I want you to truly, truly, truly feel it. Feel it in every fiber of your being. And then I need for you to start to forgive it. I need for you to forgive yourself first for holding on to all of this pain for however many years it's been. No, you're not saying that the other person was okay and they didn't do anything. No, that is not what this is about. This is about you. This is about you getting beyond this tragedy or this incident that happened to you. So acknowledge it. Experience the emotions that you felt at that time. Celebrate that you are grown enough to acknowledge it, to put a voice to it, and let the little child know that you are now going to protect that child from any future harm and dangers. And then once you truly have forgiven yourself and all the people that are involved in the situation, then I want you to start slowly pouring love on it. Pour love. Pour all the love into you that you can possibly get, and just keep pouring that love, keep pouring that love, keep pouring that love until you're filled with love. And remember, you're the one that has to start, fill you up with love. No one on the outside, just like I read from the book, no one from the outside could feel those voids and feel those holes in your soul. You're the only one that can do that. So once you start filling those holes in you and you feel to overflowing, then at that point in time, you can start forgiving the others that are parties to this incident. It won't be immediate, maybe. It may not be easy, maybe. It may not be something that you're even looking forward to doing. But to be able to get to the other side, you're going to have to. You're going to have to love it after you forgive it. People that were involved in that, let's say that they didn't know any better, and that's why they did what they did. Say whatever works for you. No, taking advantage of a small kid is never right. And I'm not saying that. I'm not implying that. I'm not even suggesting that it's okay. Please hear me well. But at the same time, it's over. Don't let it continue to wreak havoc in your life. We got to learn to release it. We have to learn to move beyond it. And the only way that I know to be able to successfully move forward is to put the love, to just bury it in love. Just pour love, pour love, pour love after you've forgiven it. So that's one type of a toxic family relationship that could easily scar and cause deep wounds and deep hurts for a female, especially a young, young female, when she believes that she's not been protected by the older people, the adults in the house. And so I hope that answers your concern on the toxic family abusive environment. And if not, just shoot me another message and I'll continue to address it here on the air. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Thank you for being a part of the community today. We're talking about mother and daughter relationship dynamics. We're talking about the healthy, loving, supportive relationships. We're also talking about relationships that were void of that, the relationships that cause a lot of women to have deep-seated emotional traumas apparent in their life from a feel of not being wanted, loved, or appreciated by the woman that birthed them into this world. So we have talked about the a friend of mine, Miss Betty Cheney, has written a play that talks about four generations, actually, of women, and it's now playing in the Atlanta area called The Rooting Place, and it is playing at the Academy Theater in Hapeville, Georgia, which is near the airport here in Atlanta. And I also have dealt with a couple of individuals that have sent some type of text or message to me in regards to issues that they're dealing with. And so the healthy, happy, whole, supporting relationships, I congratulate the mother and daughters that participate in those type of relationships. And, you know, sometimes we may not have had the best relationship as a younger child or a teenager or even in our early 20s. But as we mature and we start having children and grandchildren of our own, sometimes that strengthens the relationship between us and our mothers, where we have a better understanding. Perhaps our take on the whole situation has been a little skewed by perhaps romanticized television. You know, we're looking at these programs on TV and the moms have on the little starch white aprons when, you know, all the children get home from school and everybody's greeted so lovingly and the house is spotless and clean and, you know, you got a hot cooked dinner and stuff like that. And so maybe our whole perception around what that relationship should look like has been tainted by some of that we saw on the television. And so as we mature, we realize that the relationships that we shared wasn't so bad after all. And so that's always a good part of that maturity process, is to be able to acknowledge that, you know, it wasn't so bad after all. She really did, in her own way, show me that she loved me and cared for me. It's just that I was needed in a different kind of way. But yet and still, we want to make sure that as we bring children into this world, as we give birth to females, that we show the love and the support and the nurturing. Remember, ladies, females, energy that's on, that are listening throughout the universe, we're the ones that have been hand-selected, that have been chosen carefully to bring new life into this world. So ours is a very, very, very deep responsibility and a deep part of the survival of the family structure, survival of the humanity as a whole anyway, as a whole in itself. because without the female, there is no future generations. There is no new life coming into existence. So the role that we play is extremely important. And it would just seem to be the best thing for us to want to make sure that those are the strongest possible relationships that we can have between us and our children, and especially our future mothers that are coming up under us, to have those relationships be the strongest that are possible, so that we're teaching love, we're teaching acceptance, we're teaching respect, we're teaching harmony, we're teaching that all people have a place on this earth. And by honoring and loving your daughter or your mother and balancing out that relationship, then it strengthens the whole family unit. So, again, we're talking about mother-daughter relationship dynamics. Listeners, you're welcome to chime in, make a comment, ask me a question. Our number here is 516-531-9819. If you're already on the show, just push 1. Let me know that you have something that you would like to say on air. Again, this is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and tonight we're talking about mother and daughter relationship dynamics. And so a lot of the energy tonight have been spent in talking about the not so glamorous or the dysfunctional part, possibly, of relationships between mothers and daughters, and how we can get beyond that and how we can turn that around within our own families, within our present family units, where we're now serving as the mother and we have daughters of our own. And we still want to work on going the other way, too. We want to make sure that we strengthen that relationship between us and our mothers, but definitely to make sure that we're doing the best that we can between us and our daughters and granddaughters. I'm gifted to have a 17-year-old granddaughter. I actually have two additional adopted granddaughters now. So, but, you know, I'm always as open and honest with them as I possibly can be, because I don't want the social media or media or the streets to teach the females that are under my supervision. I don't want them teaching them the, you know, how to love on yourself and how to have self-esteem and self-worth. And I want to be the one that influenced that. And so I would ask you to do the same, to make the connections with your younger female members of your family, be daughters, nieces, and just, you know, take some time to help them through that situation and let them know that you're there to help them out. And so the healthy mother-daughter relationship. So the program where I support and where I work, Living Foods Institute, we actually had a very loving testimony from a young lady that was talking about the relationship between her and her mom and how that was her best friend, and how well they got along and communicated with one another, supported one another, encouraged one another. They went dancing, and they called each other their dance partners. You know, just to see this bright glow on her face as she talked about her mother being one of the main persons in her life that she's grateful for. And so those would be the type of memories that I would think we all want to have or to leave with our family members. And again, that can be both ways, but, you know, from the mother to the daughter or the daughter to the mother, that the person that you are relating to looks at you in a loving, accepting manner, and that they want to make sure that they're always giving you their best. and that you're always giving them your best. And so, you know, it makes me smile to see this taking place, and, you know, how people speak so lovingly of their mothers and how proud they are of their daughters and their granddaughters. And so it is possible. And not everyone has a sad sob story about the relationship with their mom, or, you know, they can't undo, they can't handle the relationship, and so they put this huge distance between them. And sometimes, you know, even that is something that has to take place in order for both parties to get themselves strong enough then to come back and sit down at the table of reasoning and perhaps rebuild a relationship from scratch, you know. So if it doesn't work as mother-daughter, perhaps you can be friendly with one another and come back and find what that's going to look like between the two of you. But, you know, regardless to how you go about that, or regardless to what type of relationship you've had with your mother in the past, you want to make sure that you're always honoring your parents, that you're never disrespecting or cursing or not showing the love there. And if that love means that you stay away, then that's possibly what you need to do, is just stay away from them. What, you know, what works between you and your mom and you and your daughter. So just be true to that. And I apologize, I need to take a quick break. I've got a little something in my throat right now, so give me 1 second.
Every day I wake up and I pray, oh Lord, I thank you.
Thank you.
This is my day, my day to create. My life exactly as I desire for it to be. I meditate on love and peace. I meditate knowing your will is my will. So I don't wish no more. I don't wish no more.
no more. No, I woulda, no, I coulda, no, I shoulda.
That was Anthony A.K. King, better known as my nephew, and that was one of those joint ventures that we did together, and that's called I Don't Wish No More. And you can find his music on his website. It's www.anthonyakking.com. Again, that was I Don't Wish No More. So, ladies and gentlemen, we come to a place in this program tonight where we're talking about mother and daughter relationship dynamics. I was actually caught in a very cold air-conditioned room today, and it really kind of knocked me off of my center. I'm very susceptible to that cold air, and it makes my sinuses just open up and drain. And so I'm dealing with that slightly, so forgive me if I sound a little nasally, because I am. But I wanted to just go back and address some of the things that we've talked about. So this is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. On this program, we talk about subjects that most people would rather avoid and act like they don't exist. There is definitely room for improvement. There is room definitely for conversation around mother-daughter relationship dynamics, because a lot of those relationships and across the board, so it's not just in the African-American community, but it's in the Mexican-American, the European-American, so it's in all segments. It's in all segments. It's the younger individuals, and it's the older individual, so the mother-daughter both ways. And we need to have conversation around this, because people are quietly hurting, and people don't know how to deal with this. And so I'm bringing it up because I want us as a community of women, a community of humans, to start having these discussions so that we can support and we can love one another to the point where this is no longer a problem in families, and that the relationships between the mother, the person that have given birth to the children, can now lovingly deal with their offspring, with their children, and so that the child doesn't feel unwanted, unappreciated, unloved, unworthy, all of those unwords, you know, is that we can turn this thing around and start being more loving and accepting of one another. So perhaps that person is no longer with us. Maybe that the person that didn't understand and didn't know how to show the love to us is no longer with us, but we're still holding that pain, and we're still holding them responsible for the way that we feel. But we need to forgive them. Remember that was one of those things I said in the beginning, so that you acknowledge the person, you acknowledge yourself for holding on to that. You honor, celebrate, and acknowledge whatever emotion comes up for you around that relationship, around that person, around yourself. Because you must learn to love and forgive yourself for the healing to completely take place. And so once you've identified it, acknowledged it, honored the emotions, that the sincere emotions that are attached to that relationship, then you forgive. You forgive yourself. You forgive the other people or person that's involved in that situation. And then once you've done that, then you love. You fill you up with so much love that you're not looking for anyone on the outside of you to fill you up, because you know that you're the only one that can fill yourself up with love, love and appreciation. And you just keep filling and keep filling and keep filling yourself up until you're overflowing with this goodness, with this love, appreciation for the person that you are. You must love you. You must love you. And then you love on the other person. We've forgiven them, and now we're loving them. And it's okay. It doesn't make the person right. It doesn't make you right. It doesn't make them wrong, nor does it make you wrong. It is just your acceptance that you now have gone to a place where you're choosing to deal with this situation in a different way, in a more mature way. I know as I've talked to people, we have a tendency to believe that forgiveness is like telling the other person that they didn't inflict any pain on us, and that that some kind of way that lets them off for what they've done cruelly to us. But sometimes the people that you're holding the grudge against or the negative emotions about, they don't even know how you feel about them. And a lot of them don't care what you feel. And so you're causing yourself to be angry and upset, causing yourself to be depressed or whatever the emotion is that you're feeling behind the situation. And that person is going on about their business. So let's take back the control. Let's be responsible for our lives, and let's love ourselves out of these situations. It's possible. It's completely doable. And it says that you love you more than you love holding on to the pain. And once you let that pain go, your life gets better. Your environment improves tenfold without you doing anything other than acknowledging, forgiving, and loving. And you could do that all from the confines of your bedroom or wherever you want to do that. That would be a different way to approach this. And for those of you that have that loving, supportive, encouraging mom, Just love on her some more. Send her some flowers. Take her out. If she's not in this physical plane, just send more loving thoughts to her and thank her. Let her know how much you appreciate the lessons that she taught you and the love that she showered on you. And be so ever grateful at all times for that energy that your mom shared with you, because regardless to how that relationship was, your mom didn't have to give life to you. So that's another way to think about it as well. So I hope what I've shared tonight has been helpful for you or someone else that you communicate with and was looking for some tips on how you can impact what they're experiencing in life. But either way, I just hope that this conversation was meaningful to you and that it answered questions that you had, or you were able to see your way through some situations. Again, I want to remind you about the play that my friend Betty Cheney has written, and it is now showing in Atlanta It's actually in Hapeville near the Atlanta airport at the Academy Theater. And the name of the place is The Rooting Place. The Rooting Place. And it's set back in the mid-80s. And she has done just an absolutely fabulous job with that play. And she talks about the dangers and what it could possibly look like when there's four generations of women that are not being honest with each other. So, again, I want to encourage you to support Ms. Chaney on her play, but I want you to support you. I want you to love on you. And if you don't feel that you could possibly approach your mom or your stepmom or whoever that mother figure is that you've had problems with, don't do that. It always honor you. Always honor what's going to work best for you. But find it in your heart. Find it within your soul. Find it within your being to get to a place where you can fully forgive and love them. It doesn't mean that you have to be up in somebody's face because you've forgiven and you've loved them, but it frees you up. It frees you up from pain and from dis-ease and from illness. So do it for you. And I pray that those of you that are listening, that are mothers and daughters, are finding more love, more love, more love in all of your interactions with others. And may we always be striving for that place, that ultimate high of love. There is nothing like that feeling in the world where you can laugh and joke and just be full of cheer and joy at all times. To me, that's true love. That is love at the highest state possible, the love that can sustain you through hard times and lean times, just that pure, 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 unadulterated love. And so I wish you love. I wish you peace. I wish you all that guarantees a joyful existence. And next week, we're going to finish up on two subjects that we've had this month. One was on healing, and the other one was on stress. Those two conversations we had not completed yet. And so we're going to do part two on the two of those next Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month. And so I hope you will come back and join us at the same time, same call-in, same station as we have used in the past. 73 weeks. It's amazing. You guys are incredible. And I appreciate you so much for supporting Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. What was a dream and what was a possibility has turned into a reality only because of the support of you, and for that I am forever grateful. I'm going to give this voice a rest and sign off tonight and make sure that I don't sit under a lot of air conditioning tomorrow. So I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And thank you for joining me today on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, we talk about all those subjects what other people just shy away from and whisper about in the corner or simply think about in their minds because it just sounds a little bit too deep for them to have an open dialogue. And so we appreciate you being with us tonight. We talk about positive experiences, personal development, self-discovery, holistic wellness, and healing. And when we love, when we truly love ourselves, we cause no harm or danger to anyone, especially ourselves. And we are at peace and harmony with all of humanity. So this is your host, Sandy Rogers. See you next week, and may you forever live in divine wellness. Take good, good care of yourself. I'll see you next week. Good night, all. Bye. Bye.